Welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box featuring Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
All right, we got to get going. I got to golf. Got to get moving. Let's go. Let's wrap this up.
You're going to
finish
your program, though? Or?
Yeah,
no, I'm leaving. I'm leaving.
Oh, I'm leaving too, then.
Go. We're going to talk to producer Joe because he fits the bill. Not soccer insider, but soccer snob.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be that guy. He's going to be like Strick is with hockey. He's going to let us know when it's okay to talk soccer. I don't think he knows that. We're having him on for his soccer acumen.
Is that what you told him?
I said, we just need to talk a little MLS.
Okay.
And then he said, that's it? And I said, well, maybe a little bit about those people that are snobs about soccer, which would also include producer Joe. Hey, this hour has been brought to you by Appliance Discounters. They have 7 area locations. That includes the new addition in the Maplewood Richmond Heights area. That's the one right on Laclede Station Road, Deer Creek Plaza. They have the bold, unique colors. It's the art of appliance. If you're looking for some unique colors with your washer, dryer, refrigerator, stop by that location. They're in Webster Groves, St. Charles County, Baldwin, South County, City of St. Louis, Fairview Heights, Illinois. TheAppliancedIscounters.com is where you can find them online. Biggest names in the appliance world at the lowest prices. Time now, 11 o'clock hour, 5 for Frank.
Tee up the hot topics. It's 5 for Frank. Brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution just 45 miles from St. Louis.
Frank, do you have a favorite college football tradition? Sports Illustrated came out with their list. Best college football traditions. They put number one as the Sooner Schooner, that little bandwagon that rolls around Norman, Oklahoma. That's not bad.
I think they had Buffalo in Colorado.
They put Ralphie fourth, I believe.
What about Notre Dame coming out of the tunnel?
Oh, that's last.
Yeah, you don't like that?
Yeah,
that's
it's last.
I like Notre
for
Dame.
Sure,
it's last.
What about...
Are you Irish or German?
Yeah, I'm Irish. I'm both Irish
but
and German.
But you hate Notre Dame?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
I do, too.
What about...
Although I'd go to a game.
The Seminoles.
That wasn't on the list, and a few people, like Dennis Dodd, said you got to put the Florida State tradition.
But the problem with that is...
That's because it's insensitive.
I'm
wondering.
But they can still do it, but yet Chief Alanowick... Gets me. That's when the program took a turn.
I've seen Ohio State dot the I.
You, who are a progressive, still wants to portray Indians in an unfair way.
Look.
You're honoring. You're paying homage.
Do you want the top 10? I have it here on my laptop.
Did you take the Hippocratic Oath?
Oh, okay. Yes.
here, all right. Sooner Schooner, number one. Howard's Rock at Clemson. I don't know a lot about that.
It's rubber
actually
rock.
Pretty cool at a night game, and they come back. They go down like the back way, right by the stadium.
And so. It was just a rock.
I agree. I'm with you.
We got rocks in Mizzou. Dotting the I at Ohio State third. Ralphie's Run, Colorado. That is pretty cool. That'll probably be banned in a couple of years.
Yes. You know,
it's unfair to Ralphie. Toomer's Corner in Auburn. 12th Man, Texas A&M. Playing of Country Roads at West Virginia games. Cowbells at Mississippi State. I was not aware of that. Marching in the Army-Navy game. I wouldn't mind going to an Army-Navy game.
It'd be fun. Get Jim Thomas on and talk about it.
The turnover chain in Miami.
I think that's cool. I actually think. And they kind of started a whole thing. Now you see a lot of different teams have a lot of different variations of the turnover belt and the turnover chain. But I don't know if I put that in the top 10 over at Florida State.
What's a good Mizzou tradition? Other than leaving at halftime, no, you
sit
on the M. Well, you, you're looking for alcohol. You leave at halftime. Although that's changing this year.
I'd like to find out. In fact, we should have the athletic director on, or maybe we just find out off the air. Is what that means economically, you know, per game if you have 50,000 in the building. I bet it's sizable. I mean,
the money coming in.
If you have some drinkers from Marquette.
Yeah. Well, what's a beer at a college football game? $8, probably. Not as expensive as pro sports, but close. And of those 50,000 people, 30,000 to 40,000 are drinking. They all have at least two. That's 80,000 beers at $8.
$5.4 million, right?
I bet it's a $500,000 that you're clearing, I think. Quick CBC, man.
But what about the apparel? I mean, you got
We're just selling beer. We're just selling beer right now. Pay attention.
Do you think if you drink more, you'll probably buy more? It's like when Martin went to the SLU game and his son came in some like hideous orange jacket.
And it was so Oregon State.
Yeah.
God, that cost me a lot of money for no reason. All right, number two.
How many times has he worn that since?
I think Chris May made us burn it. Number two, are you more likely to take the Loop trolley knowing that they now have stand-up comedians on the trolley?
No.
I think I'm a little less likely. Yeah. Is that just a sign of desperation?
If the comedian is bad, can you push him off the trolley while it's moving?
Wow.
True story. I needed a line for a sportscast last night. I said, what has issues? I'm talking about the Cardinals offense. And somebody said, use the trolley as your line.
More issue. And then John Bishi from Worldwide Technology Racetrack tweeted it out. Great low radio or TV gold from Frank Cusimano just now.
He did. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He said, more issues than the Loop trolley. Yeah, sadly, it has become a punchline, and now they've added a comedian to entice more people. If you're going to go on the Loop trolley, you're going to do it for the experience, to just kind of say you did it. I don't know that a comedian, like, oh, you know, we should really go because they have comedians. It's just like the most random idea. They're trying. All right, number three. A lot of these are very non-sports. They were leftovers from the slop in case those two bozos were still here. Frank, if you could buy a country, Trump is talking about buying Greenland. What country would you buy?
Maybe Greece. And I'd, such a beautiful country, all that great food, all that great architecture, and I'd turn it into more of a capitalistic society and having those Greeks not take these, you know, long siestas and actually go to work and not rely on the government. Yeah, that's what I would do.
Frank's cracking the whip. So it's not the lifestyle. I think Switzerland.
That's nice.
Alps and the beautiful. And I like it a little cooler, not too hot.
A lot of money.
They got banks. Got chocolate.
Yeah.
Chocolate.
I think.
I don't know. That's baklava.
I don't know. I think granted, our fight would be a little rough. All we got is that weird knife. But we're Switzerland. We don't have to get involved in any wars. You're living a good life. How about you guys? Hoff, if you could buy a country.
Wow.
Why do you hate America?
I would do Spain. I think that'd be kind of beautiful.
Laid-back lifestyle.
Yeah, just absolutely laid-back. Kind of cool, old-school style homes. I'd have to, you know, add some, you know, air conditioning to some of those units. But
a lot of attractive senoritas you could maybe have some sangria with or something.
I'll go lame and say Ireland.
Yeah. That's not lame. That's pretty lame. Good.
Have my pub, kick everyone
You'd
out.
You'd be happy.
Only mine.
Have my pub and kick everyone out.
Only mine.
Sounds like a great country.
Brian's pub. No one else is allowed.
Brian likes, you like the thickest and darkest beer possible,
yeah,
right?
Oh, yeah, Guinness. And then Smittix is over there. That's also very good. Big fan of Smittix.
In Kilkenny.
Yes.
My mom and I tried to go to the Kilkenny Brewery, and we start walking past a gate. I just thought, it's Ireland. I thought everybody visited the breweries, and some guy comes out and stops and said, what are you doing? And we said, we're here for the tour. And they said, there is no tour.
Oh.
We realized then we were like walking onto the grounds and didn't have clearance. We really want to see this brewery.
Sure, I have a backup camera. Okay, come on.
All right, right this way. You are Lane Thomas. Are you wondering why they like Randy Arozarena better than you? You've been here for, what, a quarter of the season, a third of the season? I think you have two starts total, and then old Randy gets two in a row. Now, we love Randy. That's my guy. Don't you think Lane Thomas is wondering, why don't they like me more?
Yeah, well, I had no problem with Randy getting the start last night. I'm Lane Thomas right now because he did go 2-for-4. But I'll tell you what, I'll have a problem if I'm not in the lineup tonight after Arozarena's uneventful evening last night.
All right, one more. You are Mark Budaska. Are you at home laughing? 15 Ks. Are you saying to the TV, wasn't my fault?
Yeah, I feel exactly like Bill Miller and John Mabry.
He's the one guy that should have been laughing, for sure. That's maybe not a personality, but you got to feel it.
John Mabry, Bill Miller, Mark Podesta, three hitting coaches have been fired in the last year. They still have a lot of offensive problems.
Are they getting worse offensively as they fire each one?
What else could it be? Is it maybe that's just not a great lineup? Is there a chance it's not a great lineup? Just throwing that out there. Five for Frank every day, the 11 o'clock hour, brought to you by our friends at Greenville University. Get online at greenville.edu, less than an hour from St. Louis.
Saturday, I'll be at the Gatesworth having a great lunch with my mom and her crew, 90-year-old Gil. We have Mrs. Storr, who checks in at 88. We have
Whippersnapper.
Another woman named Wendy, who checks in at 96. My mom is at 92. We have a great lunch. The food's outstanding. Afterwards, they take a nap, and then they go to a movie. Then they have happy hour, and then they have dinner. Can life get any better than that? Monique said you'd really like to move in here, wouldn't you? There's a part of me that wouldn't mind that lifestyle, I got to tell you. The Gatesworth, the finest in senior living, 170 in Del Mar.
How different is that from Frank's current lifestyle?
Exactly.
Let's continue the soccer conversation. This is your home for MLS in-depth analysis. Dan Kelly, voice of the Chicago Fire, joined us earlier. And now, producer Joe, soccer savant, is with us. Joe, you're out of your meetings, I understand.
Some of us have to work.
What do you call this, pal?
Well, you're talking, which isn't bad. I mean, it's great work if you can get it, but others chose not to continue that lifestyle, and then we work.
Joe, will the soccer insiders and the really soccer knowledgeable people like yourself accept the casual fan into the community? That's the question.
Oh yeah, I don't care about that. I mean, Martin had texted me. I said, "What do you want to talk about?" And he's like, soccer snobbery or something like that. Like, I don't care about it. Like, I don't spend enough time around people that listen. Like, I don't go and watch games in bars because if I want to watch a game, I prefer to watch it and not be bouncing around and have people throwing stuff. Like, I think the people who tend to do that sort of stuff is kind of the people who are just trying to enjoy the game for what it is. I don't think any of it really matters. Are there like baseball snobs and basketball snobs? I think there are hockey snobs. That I do think.
Strickland.
But like baseball, basketball, football, are there snobs when it comes to that?
Not to the extent we've dealt with Strickland and the Blues winning the Cup, which I think he won the Cup. So he lets us know when we can talk hockey. And we said, God, okay, Who's going to be the soccer equivalent? And I'm sorry to say, Joe, your name was mentioned a few times on the text line as you could be that guy with soccer. Now, but I defended you immediately and said that's just not who
Thank
Joe
you.
Is. What's your level, as a guy who played the game at a high level, what's your level of excitement that this is taking place?
I'm excited for it. I think once people realize what MLS is and what it maybe can be, you know, I mean, for a league that started in 96, it's still a baby. In comparison to everything else. And there's been so many failed soccer experiments, whether it's indoor or outdoor in the country, that maybe some people are met with the idea that, okay, well, this one's not going to be around. I think being around since 96 does help this. And it's not the NASL. And there's a lot of problems within U.S. soccer, so much bigger than the pay gap stuff that's actually going on. But like, there are a lot of problems with U.S. soccer and the way things are done here. But at least MLS has found some stability. They've got enough owners that aren't in it to make a quick buck and get out. So that has helped it. The new owners that have come on board, Atlanta United's 3 years old now, or 2.5 years old. They're in their third season, and they won the league last year because they did things really, really, really well from the outset, and they're building a foundation. I'm hoping, since whatever the team's going to be called, since there is some form of stability and they've got a youth club kind of sort of in place already, not to the degree that Atlanta United's is, but that they're not just coming in. And a lot of the teams that have come in recently have had some form of stability and market awareness and youth set up to a degree that the league's only going to get better. But it's still I was talking to some guys the other day and they asked, you know, what is it? Is it a third-tier league? What is it? And, you know, like, I think you take England, Germany, Spain, Italy, and I guess if you want to throw France in, those five countries are all like top-tier leagues in the world. Then you have a real wide swath of second-tier leagues, and you'll probably start dipping into South America in those cases. And then MLS is probably solidly in the third tier. Still not as good as the Mexican League right now. That there's a CONCACAF Champions League, and United States teams do so poorly when they play against Mexican teams in that, although Atlanta United won for the first time, I think an MLS team won the Campeones Cup, which is, I think, the Liga MX winner against the MLS winner that Atlanta United won this week. So that's a start. But, you know, they're, MLS is a third-tier league right now. I think it can get better. It doesn't help when one of the stars in the league this week says that a player that they just recently signed, Christian Pavon, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, says he's too good to be here and he won't be here long. It's not a good look for the league. Like, Zlatan's great. He's mid to late 30s. He doesn't have the pace to be able to play in the top leagues in the world anymore, but it doesn't help when those players are saying these young players are too good to be here. And that's kind of the image that they're going to have to fight. It's happened, and it's gotten better that they're not just signing aging European stars to come over and try and sell tickets. They're fewer and farther in between, and Wayne Rooney's going to leave at the end of this season and go back and start getting into coaching and playing at the same time with Derby County. But they're not making the super big mistakes of relying on older European players to come over. There are some young players that are coming, and that the MLS, I don't think there's anything to be ashamed of if they can be a selling league. If they can develop young talent and sell players, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I think it'd be a positive thing, actually.
Final couple of thoughts for Joe Pelosi. Joe, what about attendance here in St. Louis? Let's just say, and we don't know exactly, but the building ends up seating 24,000. You know the market. You know the pulse for soccer in our town, I believe. What do you think? Maybe not that first year because it should be crazy, but maybe year three. Do you think we have a great chance of, you know, near sellouts for years to come?
How good is the team at that point? Because, you know, like year one, they're going to get a pass because they're an expansion team, and it's a lot of it's going to depend on what they're able to bring in. I think it'd be really naive, although it would be fantastic to say that they'll make the playoffs in year one and they'll play for the MLS Cup in year two, which is what Atlanta did in their first 2 years. But it just doesn't happen. So who's going to be the coach? What's the style of play going to be? That's going to make a bigger difference. Are they playing entertaining soccer, even though they might give up three goals? Are they scoring two and three? Are they going to win a shootout here and there, 4-3 games, that type of thing? If you're playing entertaining soccer, I think you'll still be all right. But if you hire a head coach or a manager or whatever they structure the club with, if they hire somebody who is defensive-minded all the way and wants to make sure they're not conceding before trying and going and finding, then it's a tough sell to go sit in July heat, you know, on a Saturday evening or Sunday and watch a boring product. I think that makes the biggest difference. And it's really the same. Like, look, the Blues didn't have great attendance, you know, when I first moved here after the strike year because they were a bad team. But the better they became, and that's a team that was here, you know, for what, 45 years, 40 years at that point when I moved here, that they had a history in the city, but they were bad. So nobody wanted to go waste their time and watch it. So you're going to get a year, maybe 2 years of a pass. But by year three, if you're playing boring soccer or you're just not good, no one's going to come out and watch that. I don't care where you're at.
What do you hear from friends, family back in the Atlanta area? Like, who's going that surprises you? Are they diehards? Are they going because it's an event and it's just kind of cool and they don't know a nutmeg when they see it? What kind of people are going?
That's his go-to phrase, by the way. He's got one of them.
Atlanta is substantially bigger than Atlanta, or Atlanta is bigger than St. Louis. So they get the pass that, you know, they were able to come in the league and they're playing inside of a stadium that can hold 72,000 people. My dad and his best friend are season ticket holders. At the same time, it's guys that I played with in school and on my club team growing up. They're season ticket holders. It's kind of all the way in between. And then there's kids that go to Georgia Tech or Georgia State. And they go to games, and it's fun for them. It's more of a social thing for them that there are guys who really love soccer that go because they want to watch it, and then there's guys who just want the social aspect of it and the camaraderie of being a part. And that's kind of maybe what I was getting at with the first part. Is like, even if you don't like the game, if you just want to go be in part of a group and have a good time for an hour and 45 minutes to 2.5 hours, whatever it may be, and tailgate before the game because you just want to have fun, there's nothing wrong with that. Heck, go to a Cardinals game on a Friday night and tell me how many people are paying attention to the game, that they're going there and having a good time and hanging out. That doesn't mean they're not their money's as green as anybody else's, that if you just want to go and sing and dance, like, that's not for me. I don't enjoy that. I don't want to stand in an area where I'm going to get bumped and bounced and possibly have something poured on me. But if there's a group of people that want to do that, that'd be even better.
Joe, good stuff. We appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Bye, Martin.
God, I wish I was going to say, Joe's been so nice. I won't say anything snarky because I thought we could clip off. Well, Martin, Atlanta is much bigger than Atlanta. I thought, well, that'll live on forever. But I'm like, I'm not doing that because he's being a pro here. He gave us like a 7-minute answer to one of my questions, and that gave us some time to breathe. And then he ended with just kind of a Joeyism there. But that's why I love you.
Martin, you're a great guy. Frank, I've got small bones to pick with Frank because he vetoed a trade in fantasy baseball. Martin, I got nothing bad to say about you. I'm more than happy to do favors for you anytime. You need something, you just let Joe know, and he'll help you out.
That's my
Frank,
guy.
We gotta, Frank, you and I have to patch some things up, and I think we can probably work through it.
I think
we're level-headed. We're level-headed individuals, but, you know, you kind of went against the family, Frank.
there it is. You know? I thought it might come down to a bowl of red sauce and gravy for you guys to work this out.
We'll work it out.
Yeah.
All right, Joe,
take
care.
Have a great weekend.
All right, bye, Joe Pelosi joining us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box.
We all heard what the trade was, and Frank was in the right to veto it.
Yeah.
That was a pretty ridiculous trade.
He was with Tim on a Plaza, your thoughts?
I mean, it's hard to judge the trade now because Jose Ramirez is absolutely crushing the ball. But at the time, it was a one-sided trade just because of the two closers that were involved. I think it would have been even without the closers. But, I mean, Jose Ramirez is absolutely dominating, so I guess we were wrong a little bit. But you got to veto that trade, Frank, when it happens.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. For the integrity of the league, the good of baseball. What was Bowie Kuhn's for the best interest of baseball? That's what he did with the Charlie Finley trades back in the 70s. All right. Lakeside Roofing, established in 72. Solid rep, excellence in the roofing industry. Philosophy focused around a relentless commitment to customer service, quality products, and outstanding workmanship. They feature the finest quality roofing materials and provide expert installation. In Illinois, call 618-344-2800. Missouri, 314-241-5253. Maryville.edu is the website. Maryville, their digital world program provides students with free iPads loaded with textbooks and more than 150 apps. Maryville.edu. We'll have the end of the day when we come back.